Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Reverend Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, Don't Be Surprised at the Fiery Trial When It Comes Upon You. It's based on the epistle lesson from 1 Peter chapter 4. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
And welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church here in Westfield, Massachusetts. We pray that God will bless our time together as we gather around the Word and Sacrament, and also pray that God will bless those individuals who will be watching this divine service on our YouTube channel. Remembering our baptism, we make our beginning this day as we do each day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now, this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading is from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. Beloved, Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. These words recorded in 1 Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Thus far the text. You may be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed, alleluia.
It's a joy and delight to welcome you this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, on this, the seventh Sunday of Easter. Next week, we get to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, but today, we're still in the Easter season, hence the hymn, This Joyful Eastertide. So here's the thing. One of Satan's greatest accomplishments, one of Satan's things that he does well, is convincing us, well, here in 2026 and throughout time, that, well, really two things. One, that he either doesn't exist at all, and this is just something that we read about in God's Word. It just happens to be somebody that's mentioned here and there, but in 2026, we don't really know how to feel about that. Or that he is harmless, and he doesn't devise and wish his ultimate goal that you and I would fall away from the faith before we die. And it doesn't have to mean a dramatic thing, such as one day you wake up and say, hey, I'm not going to church, I'm done with this, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. But a lot of times it's gradual, fade away from the church, here for a week, here for 3 weeks in a row, and then I'm gone, and then I'm mad at somebody, and then I don't come back for 3 years, and I come back and forth, and then eventually, over the years, just kind of fade away from the church. And also, to many people, what else about Satan? Well, to many people, the devil, they think a lot of times, is basically like this kind of Halloween decoration theology kind of thing. It's okay, you see the devil outside people's houses in these red pajamas, you got the plastic black pitchfork that goes along with it, just kind of a mild inconvenience throughout our walk this side of eternity. But here's the thing. What does the word of the Lord say? Well, the Lord tells us in Scripture that Satan is what? Satan is a murderer. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is the accuser. Satan is a tempter. And Satan, as we have the words here from 1 Peter, says, your adversary, the devil, prowls. He's also a prowler and a devourer. Notice St. Peter does not say what? What is it that St. Peter is not saying here in this text? It doesn't say your adversary, the devil, is out there just trying to ruin your mood for the day. You know, you're going to go over and have dinner with your family, and the devil's out there just, okay, let's pick a little fight here, and that's it. That's not what St. Peter is saying. He's not saying that the devil is out there trying to just ruin your mood and cause a little hump in the road out here, like we have like four speed humps now out on Broad Street. We're going along life, boom, you go over the little hump, keep going, hit another hump. It's not what is being said. Instead, what does he say? He says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. And perhaps, out of all of this, the most frightening thing is this. The most frightening thing is what follows, is that many Christians imagine that the devil simply attacks them and others and those around them mainly through these kind of like extraordinary evil, these big extravagant things like you would see on the movies, pop up around Halloween, all of these things. But usually, instead, what happens? Usually likes to destroy people through what we'd call ordinary neglect, for instance. Not all at once, as I said earlier, but slowly, over time, to the point where you don't even notice. I mean, think about it. I'm sure you've had a friend at some point in your life where you were good friends at one point, and then you kind of just, this and that happened, life happened, and then you find yourselves at two different corners of the court throughout life. So in a lot of ways, kind of like that, that's the way Satan likes to work. Not all at once, not a big to-do, not fireworks going off, not all these things, but slowly, quietly, makes you feel comfortable with what's going on. Because think about it. If you've ever seen a lion, out in Fort Wayne, we had a wonderful children's zoo where we went to the seminary. If you've never been out to Fort Wayne, go out to Fort Wayne, visit one of our two seminaries. We have one in St. Louis. We have the one in Fort Wayne that Pastor Riley and myself went to. But there's this magnificent children's zoo out there. Fantastic. And at the zoo, at the time we were out there, they had two lions. Now, I didn't see the lion kill anything, anybody, nothing like that. They were just resting out there in this enclosed viewing area. But here's the thing. A lion, if you know anything about lions, the lion doesn't always roar like used to be. I forget what the name of the company was, but movies back in the day, you'd put the VHS thing in and the little lion would come on and roar before the movie starts. But a lion does not always roar before it kills. And so it is that the devil does not need this dramatic evil to get in the way and to destroy faith, for instance. Sometimes, well, he uses scandalous sin that you get caught up in, for instance. But more often, he uses distraction, he uses busyness, he uses sheer exhaustion and frustration, entertainment, things you see on TV, isolation, and the constant noise of all of this stuff vying for our attention, where instead of we don't have 5 minutes to open our Bible up, we don't have 5 minutes to put our hands together like we're doing with the kids and pray. Instead of all of that, no, we get caught up in all of this other stuff around, all of this constant noise. And now that we have computers, we have email, we have text, okay, maybe sometimes you call, all these things, you have the phone, you have all of these things. You have all of this stuff that simply seeks to create all of this constant noise. So you could say that Satan simply is not always looking to drag people straight into open rebellion. No, 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 no. Instead, sometimes he just rocks them gently to sleep. With temptation, often that sounds reasonable, that we get sucked into, I'm too tired to pray. Missing church, doesn't matter. Who cares that the Lord gives us his word, gives us his gifts of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper? Who cares about that? Who cares that the Holy Spirit promises to work and sustain faith in us? And this way, you can repent later on. You got more years. You got more days. You got all of these things. This sin, something I can imagine. I'm in control of this. I can manage it. Nobody will know about all of these secret sins that I do behind closed doors that nobody sees sitting next to me in the pew. All these things. Nobody's going to know. And so, too, the devil really begins with things such as what? Today, I want you to abandon Christ completely today. No, 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 no. Instead, he's patient. Nobody wakes up in the morning passionately hating Christ, who was a Christian the other day. It's not how it works. And usually faith erodes over time, kind of the way cliffs erode. And I think also, whatever that's called up in New Hampshire, the man on the mountain, that part of him's been eroding over time here. But all these things, faith slowly erodes, and he's happy with that. Erodes over time. That's what he wants. That's the goal. One wave at a time, smash, smash, smash against the faith, and eventually to wipe it out. And Satan also likes to work through all these enslaving things, such as we tend to imagine demonic activity, as I said, as these extreme horror film kind of things on scenes. Yes, these certainly do happen. If you were at the LWML event yesterday, you heard me speak about that and my family's experience with some of those things related to our house. But nonetheless, Scripture shows that Satan works through deception. He works through bondage. He works through destruction. And he a lot of times likes to chain people hiding in plain sight. Through what? Hatred, bitterness, greed, addiction, pornography, drunkenness, gossip, unforgivingness, violence, and sheer what? Starts with a D. Sheer despair. But that is what we see. That is how Satan likes to ruin, to destroy faith. It's just how it goes. And Satan especially likes to attack suffering Christians, as Peter writes here, what? To attack Christians that are afflicted. And the evil one loves to weaponize suffering, even in our own minds. See, hey, look at you over there. You're sitting over there. You're suffering at your house. You're suffering in the hospital, suffering wherever. Hey, God has abandoned you. That's what he wants you to hear. Prayer? Oh, hey, you know what? Prayer's pointless. That doesn't do a single thing. And you sitting over there at home, you can't come out of your house, so your pastors come to you. Okay, they see you once a month, but what? Nobody else cares. You only see the pastor. Nobody cares. Or your sins? Your sins are so much that you cannot be forgiven. But here's the thing. So if we're vulnerable, as we see here, what is the hope that we have? What is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus? As we sung, this whole time, these past 7 weeks, this is a joyful Eastertide. This is a time where we acknowledge the Lord Christ. He didn't just come for nothing. He came to die on the cross, that all of these lies that Satan would love us to believe, that Satan would love to be whispered into our ears, you're not enough, your sins can't be forgiven, nobody cares about you, prayer's useless, all of these things. Well, look to Christ. Christ tells us something else. Christ came specifically for you because he loves you, because he cares about you collectively as the saints in his name, but individually. Plug in your name. Think about the song we just sung with the kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves who? Put your name in there. Jesus loves me. And at the cross, that was Satan's defeat. Hell thought that on Good Friday, as we sung a few weeks ago, when Christ died in Walther's hymn, that the evil ones jeered, they cheered, thinking that Christ was dead, and that was the end. Not the case. Christ indeed did rise from the dead, and therefore fulfilled Genesis 3:15. The serpent struck Christ's heel. What did Christ do? Christ crushed the serpent's head. And the resurrection was heaven's announcement that Satan had lost. And Christ still guards his church now. Christ guards his church because you know what? Satan hates it. Satan hates that you have a pastor. Satan hates that you got two of us up here. Satan hates that you have divine service every week. You have divine service on the first Wednesday of the month, and then we have services the midweek. We have Bible study throughout the week. Satan hates all of this because the Holy Spirit promises to work faith in us through these means, through which he has given us. He hates the Lord's Supper because Christ there feeds sinners with his very body and blood. And so it is that the devil spends all week trying to pull Christians away from Christ, and then Christ gives himself right back to us every Sunday morning here at this altar. So here's the thing. Here's the summary of all this. We are bound by Scripture to believe that there indeed are fallen angels. The devil is real. And we battle this side of eternity with Satan, our own sinful flesh, and against the world. The devil is real. Demons are real. Temptation is real. And spiritual warfare, these things are real. But who's the victor? Christ. Christ is greater. And therefore, as you're about to hear from the choir, who's kindly standing up there for me, knowing that I'm coming to the end, what are they about to sing? They are about to sing these words. Sinners awake. Talking to you. Talking to me. Talking to the pastors. Talking to Bill. Talking to themselves. Sinners awake and turn to Jesus. Awake, awake, a joyful song, just like we talked about with the kids. Make a joyful noise to the Lord because he cares for you, he loves you, he died, he rose again. As we celebrated on Thursday, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. And he says to you, you are mine. And the devil, well, he prowls in hunger. But Christ still holds his sheep, each of us, in his nail-pierced hands with which he was crucified. And that's your joy for this joyful Eastertide. Remember that. Keep that in your minds. And alleluia, Christ is risen.
Risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have indeed refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your abundant mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We remain standing as we sing our recessional hymn, Christ is Risen, Alleluia.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.